Stand to your feet and hear what the Lord God has to say to you this morning. Out of the book of Micah, the Bible reads in the 6th chapter, "Hear ye now what the Lord said. Arise, contend that before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice." Jump into verse 6. "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves or of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn of my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord require of thee. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." Supporting that, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. On the basis of those verses, to all the men in the house as well as the women, all men need to know what the Lord requires of a man. All men need to know what the Lord requires of a man. You may be seated. It has been said that when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. When God blesses you, you can't help but just tell the Lord God, thank you. When that spirit starts stirring up down on the inside of you, you know, every now and again, you need to have the Lord to stir up your gift. Because every one of us in here has a gift that is sent and given to us by God himself. And the Lord God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. And he will make the things all right that we are dealing with in our lives. We are so thankful to God this morning for if it had not been for him, we would be most miserable. We wouldn't have any hope. We would just be going through the motions. And, you know, because of him, despite ourselves, we still got a reason to praise him. We got so much this morning to be thankful for. We are not in a position this morning to boast, because when we think of God's goodness, we understand that mostly it's because of his love for us. And so it's by the grace of a loving God this morning that we have come into this place of worship to just share our love for Jesus the Christ, thanking him for all the wonderful things that he's already done and for the things that he is doing right now and then the things that we expect him to do later on this afternoon. And if we wake up in the morning, the things that we would like for him to do on tomorrow, because the Bible declares in the book of James, what is your life? It is only a vapor that appeared for a little while and then it vanisheth away. So we just don't know how long our little while is, but however long it is, we are all to know that we owe God some praise. And we not only owe him praise, but we owe God thanksgiving. So as we come into this house, we ought to be able to give him reverence and to adore him for who he is and for how he has blessed us. And I thank God this morning because as I look around, I find that we have been obedient to the word of God. For the Bible declares that we should not forsake assembling ourselves together to worship God in spirit and in truth. So it's good to be together this morning. Good to be with all of our brothers and sisters, wherever you're from. Brother Fowler, you home and you didn't stand as a visitor, but it's been on my heart to call that name since I saw that smile. So I just thank God for you. I thank God for the people of God and all those persons that come this morning to share with us out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. God is a mighty good God. And that same God that you serve down there in Fayetteville, can't you feel him up here in Lexington, North Carolina, right here in the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church, where the Spirit of the Lord is moving freely. And so we are just grateful to God for being a God that is without respect to persons. God blesses us even when we don't realize we're being blessed. God bless some of us sometimes when we don't even want to be blessed because we're in a state that we don't know which way we're going. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives. But God is still always right there. We come this morning to thank God because I found that in the midst of everything that goes on in our lives, whether good or bad, whether right or wrong, we still can say that the Lord God is good. Somebody might say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Only God knows. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, where would any of us be this morning? Because we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and even after having life, the Bible declared that all of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. God bless us to come on this great Men's Day to celebrate Jesus. And as men of God, we say to you this morning, first of all, let's celebrate Jesus. And as we stand tall and put our chest out and just show how proud we are that we come from babies to boys to men. The transition that had to take place. You heard someone say in your lifetime, you got to crawl before you can walk. And many of us, we've been up on our feet for a long time, and it's a good thing to be able to walk, and it's a good thing to be in the field of doing what the Lord God would have us to do. And so many of us have heard many times some of us say, I'm my own man. Any of you heard that? Then there are those of us that realize that in the reality of life, a man wants to be respected and treated like he is a man. Now, we know that to get respect, you got to give respect. So you ought to be the man that God has called you out to be. We realize this morning that if we say that we are men, manhood comes with responsibilities. So to all the men in the house, to our teenage boys, and to those that we respect as young men, and to the little boys that is going to become men one day, I'm here this morning on a mission from God to tell you that it takes more than age to become a man. It takes more than making a baby to become a man. It takes more than doing what you want to do, no matter what nobody else say, to become a man. Now, first of all, let us go back into the pages of history, and we find in Genesis 2 and 7, the Bible declares, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So from the dust we came, and one day we all shall return to the dust. So if God formed man from the dust of the ground, then we realize that it is no doubt that we belong to the Lord. And it's he that has made us and not we ourselves. You know, as we look at the words of King Solomon, the preacher, a man that could have had anything in the world, but all he desired was wisdom. He was a man under the sun that was curious to know what was so special about life.
As he saw it, it was all vanity. It was vanity. And when we look at that vanity, meaning that it was empty without permanent value, that would eventually lead to frustrations. And so life in itself is good one day and is bad one day. You have ups and you have downs. And life is so uncertain. It doesn't matter how hard we pray or how hard we try. We're going to have some things that we're going to have to go through. But as you go through them, you ought to remember, as you always repeated the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as I go through my trials, as I go through my tribulations down here in the valley, I do know that the God that I serve will always be right there by my side. So we got to understand that if we're going to do what the Lord God wants us to do, we got to do things decent and in order. The Bible declares through the words of King Solomon that there is no new thing under the sun. But Solomon went out and he began to experience some things about life itself. And as he looked at life, he realized that out of all the things that are earthly, all the things that we desire, all the things that God has blessed us with, all of that is yet but vanity. I tried this and I tried that, but it seemed to be empty, because without God, I have no satisfaction. Without God, I just can't reach that mark of where I need to be. But then King Solomon sums it up in the form of our supporting text this morning. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. To keep his commandment implies to us that it is definite that God has given us many things, and God has allowed us to know that life within itself could be vain. But if we would trust him and do the things that he has told us to do, first of all, we got to understand that he's the one that made us. And when we talk about fearing God, that don't mean be a scared of God or being afraid of God, but have a reference to know who he is and that he's an awesome power and that he has all power in his hand. So I fear that one that has a heaven and a hell. I fear that one that made me from the dust of the ground. I fear that one that can take the very breath out of my body even as I speak right now. I fear that one that knows my goings and my comings, my uprising and my down sitting. I fear that one that looks around every corner and every sheepfold. I fear that one that has a watchful eye that is forever watching over us. And isn't it amazing how in all of our lives, and as I've already said, all have sinned and come short of God's glory, but even in our sin, as he watched us, he still loved us and he waits on us and he says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's no rest in the vineyard without Jesus. Anybody need a little rest this morning? Anybody need to know that there comes a time you got to trust God with everything that you got? Fear God and keep his commandments. So when we look at this, the man of God realized that out of all the worldly things that he had dealt with, he turned them back and led them to know that they must fear the power of God. And not only must they fear God, but then he leads them back to where God talked to Moses on the mountain and gave Moses the commandments. And so he gives them to us as well, because he tells us, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So now, how are we going to do our duty? What is it that God requires of us? If every man has to work out his own soul salvation, then I believe this morning that we need to know what it is that God requires of a man. We need to know this morning that it's not all about us. But it's all about knowing that we serve a loving and a mighty God. And as we talk about the men this morning, I want to share with you out of the words of Micah. He was one of the minor prophets. And when we look here, it says that Micah, whose name means who is like the Lord. So Micah was very close to the Lord. His name had sufficient meaning, and he was somewhat like God because he was a God-fearing man, and he trusted God, and God blessed him to be a spokesman for him. And we got to understand, when the prophet began to talk to the people of God, it was the flesh being used by the power of a loving God. And so this man of God had to realize that I got to say what the Lord God says, tell me to say. And sometimes it may not be received, it may not be accepted, but I still got to do what I got to do. Is there any time in your life that you have to share some things with some folk and you know that they're going to look at you funny? You know that they may not receive it in the right spirit, but something down on the inside tell you that you better open up your mouth and talk and tell what the Lord God has said. Micah realized that I'm a servant of the Most High God. And first of all, I want to let you know that he wants them to know that I want the people of God to hear what thus said the Lord, for there's judgment coming to the children of Israel. Micah began to let the children of Israel know that all of the things that you've been doing, all of the idol God that you've been serving, all the time that you've fallen short and fell by the wayside, God is not pleased. Is there anybody in here that want to please God this morning? Is there anybody to come to help me lift up Jesus this morning? See, when I look here at the word of God, I realize that God got a reason why he has to put us in check. When we fall out of his will, when we be disobedient to his word, we got to understand that God can chastise us. And you know how we talk about spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, if God spare the rod on us, we be so spoiled we won't call on him. Is there any man in the house that don't mind calling on the name of God? Is there anybody that know that God will be right there by your side when nobody else cares anything about you? I want to let you know that there is a God that sits high and he looks down low. I want to let you know that God is a mighty good God. And if you trust the power of a loving God, God will stand right there by your side. He told the prophet Micah, I want you to go out and tell the children of Israel that they better do what God told them to do. That God is tired of them doing things any kind of way. But I want to tell you that when we get here to the 6th chapter, it tells us to hear ye now what the Lord God said. In other words, God said, it's time for me to make a plea. I'm going to ask the people of God to change their wicked ways. God is a God of second chances. God will give you an opportunity to make it right. And the only way you're going to make it right, you got to learn how to humble yourself. You got to get up off your high horse. And you got to get down on bended knee. You got to trust the power of a loving God. Now the Bible says, he said, contend thou with the mountains and let the hills hear thy voice. Have you ever heard where David said, I will look up to the hills from whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. Anybody know where your help comes from? Is there anybody calling on the power of God? I just stopped by to tell somebody that when you look up to the mountains of God, you ought to want God to hear your voice. But I stopped by to let you know. The Bible says, hear, O mountain, what the Lord God said. The Lord got a controversy with the people of God. In other words, God is upset with his people because of their wrongdoings. Because of them turning their backs on him. Because of their trusting everybody but the one true living God. God said on one occasion, I am the Lord thy God. I am a jealous God, and thou shalt have no other God before me. Oh, my people, the Lord God said through the words of Micah, God said, what have I done unto you? Don't you remember that I brought you out of Egypt? I fed you when you got hungry. I was your bridge across troubled water. When you called on me in the midnight hour. Am I talking to anybody in here? Or is there anybody talking to the Lord? Is there anybody know that when I call on my God hears my humble cry? I want to tell somebody that when the Lord God bring you out your mess, you ought to be able to tell your God, thank you. So somebody said, when I look back and see what the Lord God, what God has done for me, my soul cries out to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you. Oh, Lord, I need you. I need you right by my side. Lord, I need you this morning to do the thing that I can't do for myself. I want to let you know this morning that God wants to let you know what the Lord God requires of a man. Every man need to know this morning what God requires of you in order to be the man that he would be pleased with. When we look here in the word of God, wherewith will you come to God and offer God your sacrifice? God need more than a burnt offering. God need more than a warmed over prayer. God need more than a little hallelujah. God needs somebody this morning that will come out of their comfort zone and say, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. God wants somebody this morning that realize when I read the word of God, when I've done wrong in my life, shall I offer the Lord 10,000 rams? Shall I give him rivers of oil? But God wants your heart. He said, offer your body as a living sacrifice unto God, and God will be right there by your side. All the word of God tells us, if I give my firstborn for my transgression, I want to let you know that the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. In other words, when I've done so wrong and I don't know how to get out that mess, if I try to convince the Lord that I done changed my way of living, is there anybody in the house that love God with all of your heart? I stop by to tell somebody that the Lord God tells us in the word of God, he showed the old man what is good and what is right. He walked right before us. He said, I am a holy God, and because I'm holy, you ought to be holy. If you're going to be just, then you got to learn how to walk right. If you're going to be just, you got to give God everything that you got. Give him your heart and your mind. Is there anybody in the house? Do you love mercy? For mercy soothes my case. For I was a wretch undone. I was down and I was lost. But I heard, oh God, I heard the voice of Jesus say, get up out of your mess. Come up unto me. Oh, trust in me. Fall down on your knees. Open up your mouth. Am I talking to anybody that want to tell your God, thank you? I want to tell somebody that the Lord God said, be just, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. If you're going to walk humble, you got to get off your high horse. Let that pride go and let God be God. Is there anybody that know that you are your brother's keeper? For the least you do unto your brethren, that what you don't do for God. But a whole lot of time we like to say, I'm not my brother's keeper. But if you're going to be a child of the king, you got to do something for somebody while you have a chance. Now I want to know this morning, where are the praises at in the house? I want to know this morning, where are the believers in the house? I want to know this morning, who's going to do what the Lord requires? The Lord requires you to be just. The Lord requires you to walk upright. The Lord requires you to hold your head up. The Lord requires you to give him praise. Somebody said, when I think of the goodness of my Jesus. Is anybody got God on your mind? Anybody got God on your mind? Is anybody trusting the power of God? Anybody want to forget about yourself? Don't worry about yesterday. But this is the day that the Lord God has made. And when I look around at all of these men, I can't but help myself and tell my God, thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Because when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. But one day, I became a man, and I put away childish things. Where are the men in the house? If you're going to know what God requires, God requires you to be the man of the house. God requires you to be the priest of the house. God requires you to be the preacher in the house. God requires you to know how to pray in the house. God requires you to go out and get bread and bring it in the house. And when you're bringing in the house, you ought to act like somebody. God requires you to stand up tall and let God be God. Is there anybody that trusts your God that said, I can't make the journey all by myself, but because I know the power of a loving God, God requires a man to do the right thing, to trust him, and to let him be God. Stop talking about what you've done and realize that it's only by the grace and the love of God. Every man need to know what God requires to be a man. In society, we're taught you need to get a job. You need to be responsible. But that's secular. What does God require? God requires you to give your body as a living sacrifice. God requires you as men that if he's blessed you with a family, to put that family first. Never deny your family. Never turn your back on your family. Never go out and waste your money that could be feeding your family. God requires you that if you make a baby, take care of the baby. If you want to be a man, be God's man. There's a whole lot of he-men walking around. Full of muscles and no substance. You don't have to be built. All you have to be is God's man. And if you be God's man will lead you. He will direct you. And Micah says to the people of God, hear ye what the Lord God says. He says, in order to do what God requires, be just, love mercy, and stay humble at the feet of Christ so that you can walk with your God in a way that you don't have to be ashamed. Now, as men, we've had some hard times, but look what God has done. There was a time when the black man really suffered, and we have some suffering even now. But we can say, but God took us out of that mess, made open up doors of opportunity, and look at where our men are now. Sitting in the White House, sitting in the lawyers' offices, sitting in the doctor's offices, taking care of all of our people, preaching the gospel and doing the thing that God would have them to do. All of our men are not drunk. All of our men are not strung out. We got some men that love God. We got some men that love their wives. We got some men that take care of their children. So don't throw all the men to the dog. If you got a no good man, that's your fault. Kick it out. Get you a good one. It's all about God. He said he loved you and don't love God. It's a lie. You got to love God first. Well, I'm through, but I feel good. I'm through, but I feel good. What does God require? Every man needs to know. Spread the word that God wants us to be just, to love mercy, and to walk justly with your God.